ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This evening, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2 as we're continuing our study through the Word of God and moving along. You know, we've got a few more books here before we get to Revelation, but we're moving towards the end, and we'll start back in Genesis then. Now, if you remember from our previous studies of 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter's writing to persecuted Christians in the churches located in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. And really the focus of the letter is to encourage them in the faith, you know, not to give up, but have this steadfast endurance as they're going through these tough times and to live a life that's pleasing to God, you know, to have a godly behavior in spite of what they're facing. That's always difficult, but that's what Peter's telling them, and I think the Holy Spirit is showing us. We have seen in our study so far the salvation of the believer. It covers 1 Peter chapter 1 through chapter 2, verse 12, and we broke it down into two parts. We looked at salvation in verses 1 through 12 of 1 Peter chapter 1. And again, how important that is for us to understand that God has saved us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And the salvation that God has given to us is incorruptible. It's undefiled. It'll never fade away. You can't lose your salvation once you've come to Christ. And I realize some are taken back by that because they feel you can lose your salvation if you don't do certain things. And if you do other things that are wrong, you can lose your salvation. At least that's how they feel. And Peter wants these believers, and God wants us to understand that that can never happen. You think, well, how could you be so sure? Well, there's many verses in the Bible, but we're just dealing with 1 Peter here. And in 1 Peter 1, 5, Peter nails it for us. He makes it really simple. He says that we are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So God saves us through Jesus. He keeps us through his power, not through our power, not through our good works. In fact, if you look at what the scriptures say, our good works, our righteousness are like filthy rags. So how can we be saved by that? We can't. And from there, Peter speaks about the various or multifaceted trials that they were experiencing and how God is using that to help them to grow. You see, they didn't lose their salvation, but they are surely growing in the Lord through these struggles. And in the end, in 1 Peter 1, 9, Peter says, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. There it is. We're kept by the power of God. We're going to receive the salvation of our souls. We're going to be with Jesus. Well, then we began looking at last time, and we'll finish up this evening, at our sanctification. And that's found in 1 Peter 1, verse 13 through chapter 2, verse 12. And as you can see, 1 Peter 13 opens up with the word therefore. And the idea is that all that Peter spoke about previously, he's now going to make application to our lives from the spiritual truths he's talked about. In fact, in verses 13 through 16 of 1 Peter chapter 1, listen to what Peter said. He said, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who's called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. In other words, Peter's saying, don't put yourself under the influence of anything that the god of this world, the devil, is trying to influence you with. His plan is to tempt you to sin, to take you away from God, and really go back to the old life that we once lived and become slaves to sin and Satan. Now, again, we're not going to lose our salvation, but we can lose that intimacy with God, absolutely. And here's the thing. We're a new creation in Christ. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so since God has redeemed us, he's redeemed us out of that old life. We're to live for him. We're to live a holy life for him. And again, we'll see that in verses 1 through 12 tonight of 1 Peter chapter 2. And as We continue on in our study of 1 Peter 2. We'll move to the second division of this letter, and it deals with the submission of the believer. And that's found in 1 Peter 2, verse 13 through chapter 3, verse 12. Probably something that we all don't like, submission. I mean, think about it. I'm the boss. I'm the one who's in charge. No one's going to tell me what to do, right? Peter's going to show us something a little different. So let's pick up 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 1, and see what the Lord has for us this evening as we continue looking at the salvation of the believer, and specifically sanctification. Peter said, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking." Again, Peter opens up with the word "therefore," points us back to what the previous point he made regarding the Word of God. In verses 23 through 25 of 1 Peter chapter 1, this is what he said. "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you." And Peter's saying, okay, since we have been born again by the word of God, since we're growing in the Lord, put away these things. Don't keep these things in your life. Eliminate them. In fact, laying aside is a command in the Greek, and it was a term that was often used of the stripping off of soiled or filthy garments. And it makes sense. We need to put those things off. I like what one pastor said. He said, "The degree to which those attributes exist in our lives will be the degree to which our hunger for the word will be diminished. No matter how good the meal my wife, Tammy, prepares for me, if I stop off at McDonald's on the way home and score a couple of quarter pounders with large fries and supersize the whole deal, when I get home, I won't be interested in what she's made." Absolutely. Where is your focus? You see, that's so important. If it's in this world, your desire to know more about God and what He has for you is going to be decreased. You filled yourself with other things. And when people stop reading or studying the Word of God, it's because they're eating the junk food of the world, plain and simple. That's why Peter says, first lay aside the junk, and then you'll desire the milk of the Word. And he's going to talk about that as we get to verse 2. You know, we did practice these things at one time, but we're a new creation in Christ. And we need to discard them from our lives. Why would you put soiled garments back on? That doesn't make sense. And there's five areas that Peter is talking about that we need to deal with. Malice speaks of a person who desires to harm someone. One writer put it like this. He said, "Malice nourishes antagonism, builds up grudges, and secretly hopes that revenge, harm, or tragedy will overtake another." That is not an attribute that a child of God should have. Yeah, but you don't know this person. It doesn't matter. They could be your worst enemy. We're to love them. Can you imagine if Jesus responded like that to us? We'd all be in serious trouble. Deceit is another one. Dishonesty. It literally refers to baiting a hook. You know, it's kind of like the fish. You deceive the fish into taking the bait, and this is doing the same with people. Deceit falsifies income tax returns, cheats on exams, lies about age, bribes officials, pulls off shady deals in businesses, and so on. It shouldn't be found in our lives. Hypocrisy. And the word spoke of an actor who wore a mask, and it came to mean someone who wasn't genuine. And Peter's just speaking of spiritual insincerity. You know, you say you believe in Christ, but you're not living like you believe in Christ. You're playing the role, and it's not real. Envy, it's an attitude of resentment because of what someone else has. In fact, Vine's Expository Bible Dictionary defines it like this: the feeling of displeasure produced by observing or hearing of the advantage or prosperity of others. How could they be doing so well? How could they get that? How could this be happening? That's envy. Are you satisfied with what God has given to you? And if you're not, we have to ask ourselves, why not? Why am I not satisfied? Because hasn't God given me exactly what I need in this life? Notice I didn't say what I want. Because there's a lot of things I want, but he's given me exactly what I need. And then there's evil speaking, you know, defaming the character of another person. And again, obviously we can see that that's so wrong. And what I want you to notice here is that the word all could be placed in front of one of these sins, each and every one of them. Now, we may not like it. We may try to justify our actions. But if you are going to be able to receive from God through his word, don't let these roadblocks prevent God from speaking to you. Remove them from your life. And I guarantee you, they will be roadblocks in your life. They will be up there, and you're not going to be able to hear from God because these things are so in your face right now. So that's what we're to remove from our life. Well, what's the positive end of it? What are we to embrace? Well, look at starting in verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know, first cast those other things away, those other sins. Take the pure, uncontaminated, unadulterated word of God. Why? So that you can grow, so you can mature in the faith. Let me ask you this question. I think you can answer it. When does a newborn baby want to eat? Anytime and every time. All the time. It just wants to eat. Why? Because that's how it grows, right? We need to have that kind of hunger for God's word. J. Vernon McGee put it like this. He said, "My friend, without a hunger for the word of God, you will not grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. You will not develop as a Christian. You will always be in your babyhood. We must remember that a little baby and a full-grown man are both human beings, but they are in different stages of growth and development. The little one needs milk so he can grow up to become a man. Now, how does a Christian grow? He grows by studying the word of God. There is no growth apart from the word of God. It's my conviction that the pure milk of the word means the total word of God. We don't grow spiritually by lifting out a verse for comfort here and there. We need the total word of God to grow. We need a full, well-balanced diet. Of course, we start out with milk, but the day comes when we want a porterhouse steak, a good baked potato, a green salad, maybe some black-eyed peas on the side. And you get all the spiritual nutrition you need in the total word of God." Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind. And that's why, you know, so many Christians are struggling and they're having a hard time knowing what to believe because they don't know God's word. And you don't know God's word, it's hard to know God. How do I know that God loves me? Because the Bible tells me so. But I don't feel like he loves me. You're listening to the wrong person. You need to listen to what God has said. There is nothing that's going to separate you from the love of God that's found in Christ Jesus. There you go. Trust what God has said. And I love this. He says, "Indeed, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Absolutely. I mean, I can't tell you. When I first got saved, man, my hunger to know God's word, I've never heard God's word taught like that before, where it's verse by verse, going through the Bible, just opening it up. I was like, what? This is the greatest thing. And then, you know, Phil would go over an hour teaching Pastor Phil, and I'd be like, he's done already? Come on. I still love to hear God's word. And believe me, you know, this is not just speaking to you. The messages speak to me. These are for me. So when I'm teaching them, God is ministering to me and to you by his Spirit. Grunham put it like this. He said, "To drink the milk of the word is to taste again and again what he is like. For in the hearing of the Lord's words, believers experience the joy of personal fellowship with the Lord himself." Isn't that interesting? People say, "I don't hear God speak any longer." Then you're not reading his word. Because Jesus is the word. And he is speaking to us. And if you want to know what he's saying, start reading. Get in the Bible. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15:16, "Your words were found and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." Man, what a passion for God's word. And really, especially in the days we're living in, where deception is growing by leaps and bounds, the only way we can guard ourselves against the devil's lies is to know the truth. Now, I can spend the rest of my life teaching you all the lies that are out there. And when I die, I won't finish telling you because there'll still be more. But if I share some of the dangers that are out there, but the primary focus of the ministry here is teaching you the Word of God, the truth, when a lie comes up, you'll know it. When Joseph Smith said, the angel Moroni told me these things, you could tell him, the angel Moroni is full of baloney, because the Word of God goes against that. Even if an angel from heaven should preach to you any other gospel than what I have preached to you, let him be accursed. I think that was for them, right? They don't listen. We need to listen. We need to hold on to God's word. We've tasted and seen how good the Lord is. We've fed upon his word. We're applying his word to our lives. And we need to continue to have that craving for God's word. Look what Peter goes on to say here in chapter 2, starting in verse 4. He says, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This is important for us to remember. When we come to Jesus, as Peter speaks of in 1 Peter 2:4, and we're feeding on the Word of God, as just Peter kind of spoke of here, they're one and the same. Jesus is the Word, and he speaks to us through his Word, like I have said. And Peter speaks of us being a living stone and being built up into a spiritual house. That reminds me of what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. He said, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Wow, think about that. When we gather together, this is the Holy of Holies. Why? Because the Holy Spirit indwells us, right? So wherever we go is really holy ground. It's not this building that's holy. It's God's people. And thus, as we live out our lives, people should be seeing Jesus in us. You know, this is an intimate relationship with God that was a foreign concept to the Jews because they could not approach God in their sins. Their sins separated them from God. They understood that. They knew that. That's why those sacrifices went on and on and on every single day. And Peter says, we are priests. We don't have to go to the priest to offer our sacrifices. We don't have to go to the high priest once a year on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, to offer sins for the people. We are priests, not by birth, but by the new birth in Christ. And so we have access to God at any time, day or night, through Jesus Christ. And we can point people to God, because that's what a priest did. The priest brought God down to the people, and the people up to God. And that's what we should do. Ephesians 2:18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. That's an amazing thing. We could approach the throne of grace, as Paul said in Hebrews. Also, Peter is telling us that the Lord is building a spiritual temple, not with stones or bricks, but with you and me, living stones. You know, in 1 Kings 6:7, as Solomon's temple was being built, we're told this, and the temple, when it was built with stone finished at the quarry, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built. Isn't that interesting? In a quarry far away, not in the temple, they quarried these stones, brought them, and they fit in perfectly as they built this temple. Incredible. Well, what's my point? Have any of you ever felt that you were being hammered down here? Maybe chiseled away? God's working on us. Why? Why is all the hammering and chiseling going on down here? He's preparing us for heaven. I like that. We'll fit in perfectly because of what Jesus is doing in our lives. Look at verse 6. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed." Peter is quoting out of Isaiah 28:16, Psalm 118, verse 22. And I want you to think about this for a minute. What was the occupation of Peter before Jesus called him? He was a fisherman, right? In the mindset of that day, fishermen were kind of uneducated, untrained men. They're just fishermen. And yet Peter keeps quoting out of the Old Testament scriptures. What concordance did he use? What commentary did he dig into? No, Peter memorized the scriptures. And remember, these scriptures were in scrolls. I mean, there were not chapters and verses. So they had to memorize these things. And the Holy Spirit brought them to remembrance in Peter sharing these things with us. And Peter, in 1 Peter 3:15, he admonishes us to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I like that. What is the reason you have so much hope? Isn't that interesting in the days we're living in when people have lost all kinds of hope in all kinds of different people and organizations, from government to movie stars to this person and that person? They've lost all hope. Why do you have hope? Because of Jesus Christ. He's given me the hope. He's changed my life. 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul said, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth," cutting it straight. The word of God is not to be used so we can make it say whatever we want it to say. And that's what's happening a lot today. We have to rightly divide it and apply it to our lives. Well, why? Because we're living stones being built into a spiritual house. And the cornerstone, the plumb line, Jesus Christ, he keeps everything in line. He's the supporting structure of the building. Everything rests upon him. And isn't that true with our own lives? I mean, if everything rested upon me, I'm in trouble. But everything rests on him. Jesus can handle it all. I can't. I know I can't. I'm frail. I mean, my memory is not what it used to be. I make Julie wear a name tag. No, I really don't. But it's bad. And yet God not only names the stars, all of them, he remembers them. So I'm going to rest my full weight upon him and let him direct my life. For the Jewish religious leaders of Jesus' day, they rejected Jesus. Why? Because they rejected the word of God. They adhered to the traditions of men. And it always scares me when someone comes up to me and go, "Oh, you got to hear a teaching of this person, this pastor. He's unbelievable. He's got this new thing that nobody's ever heard before." That terrifies me. You mean to tell me in 2,000 years, nobody's ever heard of this teaching, but praise God, this guy's got it? Are you kidding me? We need to adhere to God's word. We don't need to be disobedient like the Jewish religious leaders were. They were more concerned about their positions than the truths of God found in the Word of God. You know, that's a heavy lesson. And believe me, they had hard hearts back then and there's hard hearts today. Think about it. Jesus was standing right before them. All the things he was doing was in fulfillment of what the Old Testament prophets spoke of the Messiah. and they still rejected him. So we go up to someone, we share Jesus with them, and they reject us and go, oh my gosh, it's so hard. Jesus had a hard time too, right? Religious people are really tough because they have their preconceived ideas. They don't go with what the Word of God has to say. In fact, because they rejected Jesus, instead of him being their salvation, he's become a rock of offense to them. And that's true of every single person who rejects Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's Word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's Word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.